Howdy, folks. I'm Mark, and today I'm joined by Jake Martin. Jake, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for freaking having me, brother. Psyched to be here. Absolutely
wonderful. Love the energy. We can get right into it because we have 11 and a half minutes to talk about video games. So I've been thinking about how Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is my favorite game of all time. I think it is for you too. Is that correct?
It's up there. It cycles out every few months, but yeah.
Sure. And I think we're both in agreement that we both like Breath of the Wild more than we like Tears of the Kingdom. Which Tears of the Kingdom, I think, is an excellent game.
Great game.
Like, it does improve a lot in Breath of the Wild in a lot of ways. But now that we're a good ways removed from it coming out, I realize now, like, it never stood a chance of dethroning Breath of the Wild as my favorite game.
Never stood a chance.
Never stood a chance. So now I'm wondering, like, does any game stand a chance? Or will it, like, Breath of the Wild just be my all-time favorite game forever? So, Jake, why do you think it's so hard for us, for our favorite games to be dethroned?
Dang. This is a great question. Mark, you always ask the greatest questions.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, this is a weird thing because I think for the longest time when people would ask me, what is your favorite game of all time? You know, yeah. I would give them the ones that I played growing up that like had a huge impact on me. So it'd be like Pokemon Red, Mario 64. Those are like the two that I can usually rattle off like very quickly. Then after that, it'd be like more like niche ones like Metroid Prime you know, Persona 5. And then, of course, Breath of the Wild, you know. Yeah. So these games come along as time goes on and like blow you away. And you're like, wow, this really has set the bar in terms of like what a game should be. Mm-hmm. And this is like my new favorite thing. But I think it's so hard for your games to be dethroned directly because of the nostalgia attached to it. You know, like, I think we could agree that fundamentally, Tears of the Kingdom is probably a better Zelda experience for, like, newcomers coming in. If they're going to pick one to play, like, Tears of the Kingdom has more to do. I think it's a better and more compelling story. There's more life in the world for them to experience. But because we had that experience with Breath of the Wild and we have that nostalgia for it, we're like, no, this game is just better. Like, this game, I can't quite put my thumb on it, but like, this game is just better to me.
Just more special in a way.
Yeah. Like, you just have so much more emotion attached to it. And like, that's the same thing with like Pokemon Red. Like, I would say if anyone wanted to play Pokemon today, I'm like, don't go play Pokemon Red. Like, that's the worst way to play a Pokemon game now.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many good Pokemon games. You know, I don't know if I would recommend Scarlet and Violet. I don't think they're that good, but something later along in like the DS library or even GBA. Yeah. Those games are so good. And I think it's because of the nostalgia. It's just like, I think that game is like so good and so perfect because of the way I experienced it and the time that I experienced it. So that's my thought. Okay. I don't know what you're thinking.
Yes. I have a similar thought running through my head as I have been wrestling with this over the past 24 hours, basically. and there are two ways I'm thinking through this. The first way, way number zero is like, usually these games are just really good. Like, they're high quality. They're worthy of high praise.
Yeah.
But the main way, number one, whatever, they're often tied to like a really key experience in our life at the time.
Yep.
And sometimes that's like something that's shared with someone, or it's like just a significant season. Or I feel like I hear stories all the time of like someone's favorite game is because they were really wrestling with some trauma or like grief or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which is really usually experiences you hope will never be repeated. And the game has just been kind of tied to that in a more positive way. And so Breath of the Wild, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, but like, that was probably going to be the last video game I ever bought. Like, I had a Wii U. I didn't really intend on getting a Switch. I had recently graduated college, and I thought, like, it's time to move on from video games. But then I fell into it, and it was, like, literally wonderful. Like, there are just moments of awe and wonder that I just hadn't experienced in a game like that for, like, as an adult at any point.
Yeah.
And I kind of just reopened my eyes to what a game could be. And then, like, through that and, like, the lead up to Smash Bros., I kind of fell into the online community of people talking about the games, like especially finding out there are like sensible, mature people taking video games seriously.
Yep.
Both dissecting them, but also like, it's like yourself. That's how I met you, is Jonathan Moore connected us because we were like, you both are into this.
Yep. You guys talk about video games a lot. You should be friends.
Man, good for Jay Moore.
Yeah.
And so like Breath of the Wild was kind of the way that like led to this podcast. And so, and like at the same time, it was also pretty formative of like my first year out of college was just really difficult and just a big reality check.
Mm.
But March 2017 was really when it kind of started to turn around, and like not because of the game, but just right alongside it. Like God really was leading me through this, my own journey of like wrestling with my calling and purpose in life. And it, Breath of the Wild was the only game I played for a long time. So it just became tied to the life experience. And so it's like, there's no way Tears of the Kingdom could match that. Although I did play it while having like our first child grow up for a few months. So that's also a key part.
Also a good milestone.
Less tied to that.
Yeah.
Like similarly, do you have any kind of like particular memories tied around your favorite game?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I think about, I mean, childhood in general, everything felt more grandiose because it was the first time maybe you had seen something like that. So, you know, Mario 64, I was just like, nothing was traumatic or, you know, monumentally happening at that time, I don't think. But just being able to see that and like experience 3D graphics for the first time, and then like having my own console. I think that was the first console I owned. That also played a part in it, like having my first console be attached to that game.
Yeah.
But then like I think about Game Boy, and that was actually my first video game thing that I was allowed to get, because my parents were like not super into video games.
Sure.
And so we wanted them, we had to save up our own like allowance and, you know, birthday money and stuff to buy something. Yeah. And then on my birthday, I don't remember how old I was. It was right when Pokemon had come out, and my friends had the Game Boy, and they had the Game Boy, they had Pokemon Red or Blue. My grandma got me one, and it was just like, it was like peak excitement. I was just like, I cannot believe that I got a video game that I didn't have to like save up for. And like, I have Pokemon that all my friends have, and then we can all play together. And so like, I think just like those apex moments for me are like what describe my attachment to like most of my games.
Yeah.
Same thing with like Metroid Prime. We all were sick at home with the flu. Me and my brothers, I have two brothers, my older and younger. Yeah. And it was the best, because like we literally just were home for like almost a week, and Metroid Prime had just come out. And we were blown away. Like, I just got in the GameCube. Yeah. I was playing Metroid Prime. I was like, this is incredible. Like, we're all experiencing this together, and we don't have to go to a school. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
All feeling terrible, but still, like...
Yeah. We didn't even care, man. I was just crushing Gatorades and playing Metroid Prime. And, like, I think that's it for me. Same with Breath of the Wild. Like, you, I was kind of down on video games. I was like, yeah, I'm not really feeling a lot of stuff that's come out. The Wii U really put a bad taste in my mouth. Yeah, I think as a Nintendo fan, I was like, I don't know. I think this might be it for me. And then, Breath of the Wild just totally changed everything. I was like, this is incredible. And I'm in. I'm in for this.
Nice. Yeah. I was also thinking of like the way that nostalgia plays in, kind of like the first key game that you really come in contact with. And like for me, up until Breath of the Wild, like Mario World was always my all-time favorite. Oh,
so good.
Because I think Duck Hunt was like the first game I remember playing, but then like Mario Brothers was right alongside those. And like I didn't own a console until the GameCube, so I played like NES and Super Nintendo at friends and family's houses. So all the Marios kind of melded together, but I always like wanted the one with Yoshi. And it wasn't until like much later I realized, oh, that's a different game called Super Mario World.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't until like I had the Wii Virtual Console that like I played through the whole thing. And ever since then, it's kind of become like a comfort food game.
Oh, so good. That's a great one. Nice. Good choice.
So knowing that like this is such a challenge, what do you think would have to like be true or have to happen for a game to like break through and be a new all-time favorite?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it would just have to... I don't know. Like it doesn't have to do so much. It can be attached to a time period. If like you're playing a game, like right now I'm playing coffee golf a ton, and I like coffee golf. But like, let's say, for example, like, you know, like, oh, I'm raising my child, and I'm the only thing I can play at the time is coffee golf. Like, I might have a fondness for that because it really worked for me in that moment in time. But I think for a game to become my new all-time favorite, it probably has to, fit my lifestyle in some way. And it also has to be doing something new and interesting that will capture my attention. Because there's a lot of stuff that comes out that feels the same. But then every now and then there's a game that comes out and you're like, wow, that really did something for me. Good music, interesting concepts or ideas. Like that's it for me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I feel similarly where like it would have to do something like new and unique and interesting. But I think it also like, I think experiencing a game with like my kid for the first time or potential kids in the future, that would be like what really kind of cements a new one for me of like if they have a very similar reaction to the game and that's something we share together, I think it would be, you put that one on the top shelf.
Yeah. That's a great example. Like just, that whole experience being attached to it. Cause I mean, like I was already thinking about like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and how that would be a great game for kids to play because it has auto accelerate and auto like safeguards on the edges so you can't fall off. And I'm like, basically they'll just drive through the course and think they're playing. And I'm like, this could be the first game that like he's able to play. And like, that could be a cool memory. Probably not my favorite game, but it'll be up there.
Yeah. You're much closer to that too. I know your first is.
He's getting there. He's
a bit older.
A little over two now. He's two and a half. So we're getting close.
Well, nice. All right. Well, we got to start wrapping up here. Good conversation. Thanks for sharing your stories.
Yeah, man.
But Jake, for one quick story now, what are you playing?
So still going through Mario Wonder. Nice. Loving that game. Are you playing that at all?
No, but I hope to by the time this episode goes up.
Okay. So, I mean, it's delightful. It's more Mario. It's a lot of fun. I like that there's no time limit on it. So I'm able to just kind of explore and make sure I find all the hidden coins and stuff like that. Nice. So it's been great. Yeah.
Very nice. For myself, I am playing coffee golf. Man, what a great one.
So good.
Thanks for reminding me to shout that one out. Well, Jake, thank you for joining me. Where else are you out on the internet?
I'm on X at bitblogist, BitBloggist.
Oh, very nice. Well, thank you all for listening in. You can follow us on the major podcasting services. You can find us on the proper socials, 11.5 minutes, and let us know why is your favorite game your favorite game? And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks. Bye.